So I'm talking about gifting. This is for the tape, and this is a ladies' meeting, but men, you are very welcome to listen to it as well, and anybody else who wants to listen to it. So I just want to start from Romans. I've given you a sheet of paper with all the list of the giftings that it says in Scripture, because I don't want to this morning go over each one of them. I don't want to do that. So it's for you to take home. Just put on your if you've got a pen, maybe just write this. There's a gifttest.com that it says gifttest.com that you can go on, and it kind of asks you these questions really about your desires and your heart and where, what are the things that God is doing in and through you. Because some people here this morning and some people here listening to this will know exactly what God has called over their lives. They'll know exactly their gifting. And some of you here this morning won't know. You'll think, what am I meant to be doing? Where am I? But when you understand these scriptures that I'm going to read, you are all called. We are absolutely all called to function well in God's house and to be a body working well together. And so it's not about you coming in church, receiving and going home. We're called to be part of each other and to operate and function in our gifting. And however that's going to be for you, we have to, you know, do it through the scripture and do it understanding what God's saying. So I'm just going to read you this. First of all, is Romans 12 verse 4. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." So we're not meant to all have the same function. "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them." So listen carefully to that. Let us use them. "If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. And the one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." So you've got that scripture there, and then you've got another scripture that it says, you maybe just want to write this, in 1 Corinthians 12. So it's kind of all the 12, so you won't forget it. So 1 Corinthians 12, and it says here, again, that there's this, the varieties of gifts, and it says in verse 7, it says, "To each is given the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. For to one given through the Spirit," always remember this, through the Spirit. You cannot operate in the natural, which I will go on to speak. It is through the Spirit. So it has to be through the manifestation of the Spirit. "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom and the utterance of knowledge, and according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So this is enormous. Because I want to say to you, when the church starts to awaken to all the power that God has released, and we start to be a church that's really confident and has boldness in what God has spoken over us, the church is going to be dynamite. And I feel there's something, you know, Dave's been talking about this, preparing the bride. And we've both been praying about, how do we prepare the church? What do we do? What do we speak about? So I'd not come in here to you today with just, all right, today I'll just talk about gifting. I've sought God. What do you want me to do, God? Because this thing about gifting, when we're all functioning our gifting, let me tell you, the church is going to look very glorious. It's preparing the church for what is to come. It's preparing us to be really in unity together, because the gifts if you can understand, they're a for the lost and the unsaved as they come in, but they're also for the edifying of one another, for the building up of one another. And if the gifts aren't appropriate and aren't working properly, and if you just come to think, well, I'm just going to receive, that's not what church is about. I really want to help you to know that. And it says this in Ephesians 3, which obviously is one of my favourites. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. There's something, church, that we really need to get hold of, that we are not getting hold of, because when I keep saying the world is in a mess, it is, and that Jesus is the answer, and the church is the answer, and the church hasn't looked like it's the answer, because it's looked too powerless, and it has, the worldwide church is so confused in what it believes, and we've got to stand for real truth, and we've got to understand that when we come here to this church, we are coming in this place of us really seeking to be this Acts 2 church where we are totally devoted. If we want to shake hell's doors somewhere to bring in God's kingdom, we're going to have to waken up somewhere to all that God has got for us. We can't be grey, and God wants us to be vibrant, and he wants us to be people of power. So there's something God has to awaken in us. And so the scripture says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, it says, fan into flame by the laying on of hands, the gift. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to fan into flame. So wherever you are and you're thinking, well, actually, I don't know where I fit in this morning, let me tell you, you will do by the time you're going out, because we're not meant to be living aimlessly. And there's something about this, this radical sense. We need to scare the devil. And do you know how we scare the devil? We actually scare the devil when we are true to who we say we are. And when we say that we're Christians, we have to live like we're Christians. And when we say we're spirit-filled, we have to live like we're spirit-filled. And when we say we're devoted to God, we have to live like we're devoted. And that scares the enemy. Let me tell you, when the church gets together and starts operating in power, operating in our gifting, let me tell you, we shake the gates of hell. But I'm telling you, for too long, and I really seriously mean this, hell has been shaking the church. Hell has actually been shaking the church doors and the church people by lying to the people. And when you receive and you believe the lies and the deception of the enemy, let me tell you, you go right down. And so I just want to ask you, where are you this morning? How are you living, and where are you living from? Are you living under this open heaven? And so many people talk about open heavens, but when I just started to get on my knees to really ask God, what does an open heaven? You see, sometimes people are so caught up in the external. They're so caught up in all the external blessings of God. When the open heaven, let me tell you, an open heaven comes over your life when you start to surrender, you start to let go of control, and you start to come under the authority of God's word. That's when an open heaven comes over your life. And all the flow of heaven can come in you and through you because you have surrendered everything. And when you are in control, let me tell you, it can't happen. And so I want to ask you this morning, where are you? Where are you living for? Who are you living for? Ask God that. Have you become grey and lifeless? And have you become distracted? You see, the enemy, like, he tells us we're worthless. He tells us that we're too young. He tells us that as you're getting old, he tells us you're too old. You can't be doing that now. You need to conserve your energy a bit. You need to be doing... I think of Anne when you went to Africa. And, you know, some people might have said she's too old. But no, she wasn't too old, she was going. And when God calls something over your life, you're not too young and you're not too old. When God speaks something over you, we have to listen very, very carefully. But he just tries to distract us. And if your mind, and I'll be speaking it at the end of the month, if your mind, and this is a really big one, that gets too absorbed in self, you won't be able to hear you. You just won't be able to hear. When you're too busy about me, myself and I, about your life, your circumstances, your emotions, your feelings, your, me, I. When you get living from that kingdom and not seek first the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then and only then will everything else be added unto you. Don't come any other way. The scripture says it. It doesn't come from any other way. It comes from you seeking God. So I just had this, when I was praying, I really have this sense that as we get full of the Holy Spirit, that we're going to leave an imprint and an impact on the town. So when you understand what your gift is, and so there's your list, you need to go home and you need to get on your face, you need to seek God. And where it says earnestly desire the gifts, and I think that says it in 1 Corinthians 14, it says about earnestly desiring the gifts. You need to pursue that. We're quite lazy, I think, or are we complacent? I don't know what it is. But if you really want to be in a place that God has got for you, you have to go do something. God's just not going to just... He sometimes comes with the power and he gives us things, but he likes us to go seek. He likes us to go ask. He likes us to go be with him so he can impart something on us. And yes, he can come today and he can come miraculous and he might tell you what your gifting is and he might deposit something on. But there's something about pursuing God. He likes us to be earnest about the things of the Spirit. And so really do that. Go earnestly seeking him, because whatever you think it is, God might be giving something else to you. So wherever you are, but absolutely, we need to function confidently in it. Because I just feel as a people, we don't need to be wasting our time and our energy and our finances on things that don't matter. And because we're selfish, we actually do. We spend money on ourselves. We have to get into that mode of really realizing where we are. We spend copious amount of money on ourselves when we're meant to be putting money into God's kingdom. So I'm saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else will be added to you. And we just get off balance somewhere. And so because we're too busy listening to the lies of the enemy, and the culture of the time, which I will be speaking about, because it tells us the devil influences the world and the culture affects the church, and it's not meant to. And it tells us that we need something. It tells us that we're not good enough, so we need something else. And it's all the time kind of playing a tune into this selfish behaviour that goes on in us, and we can't do it because we have to set ourselves to be totally different. And if you don't give your life fully over, and if you don't come in and understand that we're a body together, functioning together, what you will do, I just want to help you, really carefully help you. If you don't come in and understand your gifting and understand being knitted in, and come right into the church, you will spectate. And when you spectate, you will keep criticizing and you will keep judging. So you will judge the things that are going on in the church. You will judge how the worship is. You will judge the talk. You will judge what's going on. And instead of being knitted really, really closely in and coming in together, you will do that thing. And it's horrible. And then what you'll do is you'll start to be with people of the same spirit who start to do the same thing, and you'll start knitting it into each other that start to be critical of everything that's going on. And let me tell you, when you come in fully, that isn't part of your nature, because you're there to for the good of each other. You're there to encourage one another. You're there to help each other. You're there to exhort each other. I could say a lot, but I won't. But it's massive. There's just got to be an excellence of what we're going to do in this church, an excellence of who we're going to be, and bring something with excellence, girls, when we do it. Somewhere as a church, we've got to come and rise above the lies. We've got to come and rise above the lies that the world is telling us. We've got to rise above the lies that the enemy is speaking to us, even in this moment, even in this time as we're sat here, even in telling us, just there's people here, even in this moment, the enemy's just feeding you lie after lie, and you are just breathing them in, sucking them in, and taking them in and believing them. And God has got an absolute different plan and a purpose for you, because he wants to fulfill his purposes in you and work through you in your life. If only you would let down everything of your defences, everything that is protecting you, everything of your control, and you would lay it on the floor today to allow God to do something with you. And so I just have a sense of that in my spirit, and I feel that even as I'm speaking, you know that God is saying that is for you. And I just have the sense of that. I want to tell you, embrace change. Change is quite hard for some. I really love change, but embrace change. Change sometimes makes us feel quite uncomfortable and quite awkward, and change actually makes us feel quite nervous. But when you've got the power of God running through you, let me tell you, you can do all things, because it's possible with God. I was thinking about this question: will God ever ask you to do something that you're not able to do? And I'm going to tell you, absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. He's going to tell you to do something along the line, something that you are absolutely, completely unable to do. He's going to say that to you because he wants to bring glory to his name. And when we keep operating in our natural ability, not through the power of the Spirit, the glory goes to us and it doesn't go to God. And when we start operating through the power of the Spirit, through things, not our, because we are, God can use natural ability, let me tell you, he absolutely can. But everything, as I've read in those scriptures, it has to be spirit led, spirit breathed, and spirit flowing. And so we just have to be in that place. And so I just want to help you in that today. Stop saying the no's when God is saying the yes to us. Because I feel that even in this church, that we have this ability to say, God, this far, but no further. And I feel that it's even going on in this church, that we say, you can come this far, but you're not coming any further. So you can come this far over me emotionally, but you're not coming any further. You can come this far over me spiritually, but you're not coming any further. And we've got that tendency to say that, this far, but no further. And we've got to lay that down today, because if God's going to use us, we've got to say, God, we're going to come under your authority. We want to be connected to your will. We want to do what you want us to do. And joy and pleasure is going to flow, because it makes you miserable. I just want to say, it makes you miserable. It makes you despondent, and it makes you very disappointed when you do not come under the authority of God's word. Because I gave this word about disappointments the other day in church, and I felt that God was saying to me on Friday when we came to pray, it's over churches. This disappointment and despondency is over churches. It's not just to do with our church, but it's over churches. And I believe it's when we get on our own timetable and when we get on our own agenda. And if we want to live from this open heaven, we've got to get on God's timetable and God's agenda, because what he's going to do, and I felt this was God was saying in my spirit, he said, I'm going to bring intentional delays in your life till you get down on your knees and surrender and trust me completely. I'm going to bring intentional delays. And so when we actually bow the knee to God's timing, to God's authority, to God's plan and God's will for our life, then everything changes for us. And God wants us to do that. And otherwise, you become grey, you become disappointed, you become despondent, and there's no joy in you. All your joy is absolutely out of you. And so God wants to do something because he's got purpose for us and he wants us to live like that. So we've got to function from that place. And I just want to say, in your gifting, what you're doing in your gifting, you're putting a really, really big spotlight on only one person. You're putting a really big spotlight on Jesus Christ. And you're putting a big spotlight on him, just like the Father puts a spotlight on Jesus. You are putting a spotlight when you operate in the Spirit and you are saying, here is my lovely Jesus Christ. You are not putting a spotlight on yourself to say, here I am with my ability and my gifting. You're putting a spotlight on Jesus. And that is how we're going to function well, guys. We're going to come together, get knitted in together, and function properly as God's called us to function. And that's all I'm going to say. And like I say, I don't know why I read notes, because I don't even, like, I look down at them and think, no, I'm not saying that. That's why I've been, do you know, I should just not put them out, because I just think to myself, why do I write things down? Because I think when you get here, that you know in the spirit that you just have to hear God. And if you've thought I've gone a bit quiet at times, that's because I'm just trying to listen to where God is saying we are as a church. And so shall we stand? Because I think that we need to do some things first. I think that we...